We certainly are thrilled to have Brother Andy Bonakowski with us this week, and not only because he's here, but because he's been representing us as a local church in Spain for so many years. And having been there, I can certainly assure you that there's a wonderful work being done for God in the northern region, the Basque region of Spain. And I know that last night's message, the introduction was enough to keep me under conviction, and I'm looking forward to continuation of the study in the book of Daniel. So, Brother Bonakowski, Lord bless you. Thank you again for coming.
Thank you. Thank you, Pastor. Okay, good evening again. Thank you for making the effort on a Thursday evening with schedules full tomorrow to come out and glorify the Lord by being here and honoring Him and being a church family that comes to hear the Word of God and to, in this case, hear about missions and see some of the ministries that may be going out from your church. I had a very pleasing surprise about an hour ago as I was standing at the table back in the back getting ready for y'all to come in or whoever to come in, and the door opens and Dave Willis walks in. Well, maybe some of you may know Dave, but if you don't, Dave and his wife Jennifer and their four children are going to be starting deputation next month in the next couple of months, and they will be coming to the Basque region, Lord willing, as he provides, to really dive into one of our target cities, the target areas. You will see video and pictures of that area on Saturday, I believe it is. And they will be going, Lord willing, into that town. There's about 25,000 people in the immediate two large towns in the valley. And there is really no evidence of the gospel having been there for 500 years or more, as far as we can tell. Maybe at some point there was something, but there is no evidence of it. And it definitely needs a good Bible preaching church. And in those, where we are at least, up till now, the churches have always started with a Bible study that the Lord prospers. And usually it starts in a home. Sometimes we're able to get, like right now in that town, we already have a Bible study going on Tuesdays with some believers that are in that area, and we're able to have it in a hall in the city, in the cultural house in the town, and they don't charge us anything. And there's a table there. There are some pictures on the website, and a lot of you follow the emails and the videos that I send out, and I've sent out pictures and videos in the past of that Bible study going on. And it continues to go. My co-workers are there now, and it's going week after week on Tuesday evenings. They gave us a little room, sort of hesitant at first, because they don't know really what we are, even though we try to explain. But, of course, part of our purpose is to shine with not just speaking the gospel, but shining with our testimony and our life as we go in and out. And there's a young lady that works in the office and lets us in, and we go up to the second floor in a tiny room with a few tables, a room for about 12 or so. And at first, she just looked at us over her glasses, you know, and that went on for a few weeks. But we made sure we were out on time, we were always friendly, etc., etc. And about 3 months into the Bible study, her name is Sarah, and about 3 months into, there was a scheduling problem, and someone had that room, and she said, well, there's another one on the other side of the hallway that you could have. And so we said, okay, well, that's fine with us. And so we walk into this room. It is a beautiful little room with about 25 chairs, and it even has projectors and screens, and is really, really nice. And we immediately thought, hey, when we outgrow the other one, maybe we can come here. But, you know, they had been hesitant to begin with. Well, the next week when we came, she said, do you want that room, the new one? And so we can already see there some opening, at least to the friendliness. And that's much of what it is in those early stages. It is gaining an audience and opening up hearts to the gospel as it is preached and continues to be preached. And so in all of these areas where we have these target areas, we have 13 of them that are target communities, just entire communities. We need families to be there, because a family opens up the hearts of many people. The kids are especially important in starting those Bible studies, and that will turn into a church. And so we are very excited about the Willis, praying for them. They have a lot ahead of them, as those of you on deputation know. I'm glad I don't have to do deputation anymore. I don't know. I don't have the energy, I don't think. But I sure can pray for those who do have the energy and the call, of course. And so thank you for praying for them as they come to mind. And it's a blessing to see you all here tonight. Okay, well, last night we went all the way around Daniel, looking at him from all angles as an introduction, seeing the surroundings, some of the setting of Daniel, establishing somehow the fact that Daniel shined, and he shone with the light of Christ and the light of God, the true God of heaven. And tonight we're going to go into Daniel a bit. Instead of outside him, looking outside, we're going to look inside Daniel, because the Lord allows us to do that. He gives us that door, and through in a very special way. And so we'll do that. Let's go to the book of Daniel, chapter 2. I'd like to read that passage once again. While you do that, let me read Philippians, the verse that we have as a theme. And then I'll join you there in Daniel chapter 2. Philippians 2:15 says, "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God," think of Daniel, "without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Paul telling the Philippians they should be shining lights in the pagan culture of Philippi, and of course the surrounding area. So, Daniel chapter 2, let me read that beautiful prayer once more, and then I'd like to pray myself and commit the evening to the Lord. Daniel chapter 2, I'm going to read starting with verse 19 this time, and then we'll read through the end of the prayer. Verse 19 says, "Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven." First thing he did. "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name..." I just remembered I forgot to turn this on. Sorry. I'm pretty bad at that. I could hear that they really piped this up. Okay, there we go. Start again. Verse 20. "Daniel answered and said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings," probably presidents too. "He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." That was his prayer. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you again for this evening, the opportunity to be here, the privilege of being here among your people, in a place where peace and joy and harmony reign, because the love of Christ has done a work in so many hearts and so many lives. But Lord, as we leave this building and we move around among the world, those in the world, we often find ourselves in a completely pagan setting. And Lord, that is part of your plan, that we be there and that we shine, that our lives make a difference, that we influence others, and when we speak the gospel that they listen, pay attention. Only you can do that. Only you can give us that audience, that power, that authority. And you do it through vessels that are specially prepared and obedient. And I pray that you would help me this evening as I speak from this beautiful prayer and about this man of God, Daniel, who has gone on before us. Thank you for letting us see into his heart and be able to see what there was that made him so useful to you. And Lord, we want to be useful too. We want to be tools in your hands that are efficient and powerful in preaching the gospel here and outside of this country. And so I pray, Lord, that you would help me to be simple, clear, accurate. And I pray for those who listen that they would have the keenness of mind to be able to concentrate and enjoy your word. And I thank you ahead of time for answering prayer. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Daniel, shining in a pagan culture. We get to see Daniel inside through his prayers. And that's the way, that's one of the best ways to know a person, to know what he believes. Listen to him pray. It bugs me when people pray really, really fast. You know what I mean? Sometimes you got to. If the truck's bearing down on you, you know, you got to pray fast. But there are times when you get the sense that the person is praying and it just isn't even registering. It's just talk. Or the vain repetitions that you hear many times in praying. And you wonder, is the heart really producing that? Or is that just the mind that is used to saying the same words? Prayer says a lot about you and me. Our prayer speaks a lot of what we are, who we are, what we believe. And when we pray, we are actually opening ourselves to others without them really knowing it. Without us really knowing it, if we're not conscious of that. We don't realize it. That when we pray, we're saying a lot about what we believe. And so we're going to look at Daniel's prayer, the beginning of it today. It was interesting to me, just sort of adding something that I didn't give last week or last night about Daniel. And before I get into that, I want to just read a passage for you from the book of 2 Kings. You don't have to go there if you want to jot down the references, chapter 20. But these words were spoken 100 years before what we're reading tonight in Daniel, okay? I'm going to read in the book of Kings, chapter 20. You remember, probably, the king Hezekiah. Remember the king who got really sick and was about to die and got really, really, really down about it and turned his head to the wall and just sort of was, you know, he just lost everything. He knew he was going to die and he was just saying, Lord, I really want to live. And you remember that the Lord added years to his life, right? How many? 15. Remember that? And so, of course, he gets all excited. He's all happy. He sings a song, and it's interesting to read. But as a result of that, he apparently, reading Scripture and between the lines of Scripture, he apparently let it get to his head and not exactly sure. There's several ways you could take it, the way he did it. But anyway, he did something that the Lord was not at all happy with. And that was that he just opened his house as a museum for the Babylonian ambassadors who were coming to say, "Hey, congratulations, we heard you got over your sickness and so forth." And he, he knew he had 15 years. I don't know what all was behind him, but he just opened it all up. Maybe showed them things they shouldn't have seen. Well, obviously he did, but maybe showed them things from the temple. I don't know. But the Lord was not happy with them at all. And in fact, if you judge the sentence, if you take the sentence to try and figure out how grave the mistake was, listen to the sentence. Isaiah comes to Hezekiah in chapter 20, verse 16, and says, "Hear the word of the Lord." This is the man who has just gotten 15 years on life, just had a tremendous answer to prayer. Be careful when God answers your prayers, how you respond. Daniel had a very special way of responding. But Hezekiah did it the wrong way. Verse 17, this is the word that Isaiah gave Hezekiah. He said, "Behold, the days come that all that is in thine house and that which thy fathers have laid up in store unto this day shall be carried unto Babylon." The Babylonian Empire was nowhere near its height. This was 100 years before Nebuchadnezzar's attack on the city and taking everything. 100 years before, God told Hezekiah, the Babylonians are going to come and they're going to take everything, basically, that you own and that your family has stored up. "Nothing shall be left, saith the Lord." Verse 18, And of thy sons that shall issue from thee, which thou shalt beget, shall they take away, and they shall be eunuchs in the palace of the king of Babylon." Who do you think he's referring to? Take a guess. The Bible doesn't nail it down, but it sure makes it pretty clear, pretty obvious, that Daniel was probably one of those, and possibly that's one of the references to Daniel as well, albeit veiled, very veiled. And so here we have this Daniel in chapter 2, verse 19. The Lord has given him the answer. Has given him the dream of Nebuchadnezzar and then the interpretation of the dream. And the first thing he does is pray before he even goes to the king. That's where we sort of left it yesterday. So what I want to do this evening is to look at that first verse. The whole prayer is rich. It's extremely rich. But the first verse is just bloated as it gives the bottom line of what is in Daniel's heart. And I believe it was the foundation that made him be able to shine as he did through the book of Daniel and really on through history. Notice what he said. Daniel, the first words out of his mouth. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. For wisdom and might are his." How often do you pay attention to that word or phrase, forever? If you're like me, for much of my life, it says you read it, the forever just sort of, just it's a word we see common and we don't stop too much to pay attention to it. I hope that by the end of the evening when we finish, you will probably, as you read the scriptures, I hope you will really pay attention to that phrase. It's very significant. Notice what he says. "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." What is God's name? It's not really a trick question, but it's a little difficult. So you'd be a little hesitant because you don't want to say the wrong thing. The Lord has many titles, and he actually has several different names as well. But when we talk about the name of God, there is one that should come to mind as above them all, and that's the name, or said in this way, Yahweh, or Jehovah. Okay? Notice what he said. Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. Now, the name of God is Jehovah, and guess what Jehovah means? Let's look at Exodus chapter 3. Let's look at this name as the Lord gives it first to Moses. We're in Exodus chapter 3. Moses has been told to go and bring out the Israelites. And in verse 13, Moses, who is nervous about it, is not very excited about the job, says in verse 13, Moses said unto God, Behold, when I come unto the children of Israel, and shall say unto them, The God of your fathers has sent me unto you, they shall say to me, What is his name? What shall I say unto them? Okay, very simple question in a way. Notice God's response in chapter 14, in verse 14. And God said unto Moses, I am that I am. And he said, Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel, I am hath sent me unto you. Well, now isn't that an odd name? I am that I am. That's what God told Moses when he asked him the question. Point blank question, black and white. What is your name? He said, I am that I am. And when you go to the Israelites, tell them, I am hath sent you. But actually, when he talked to Moses, when he told Moses, the first answer was, I am that I am. That is a very interesting name. I've been studying it a little bit recently and found out some things that I didn't know. The name, it's a verb, a Hebrew verb, okay? It's a verb that means I am, but it's in the first person imperfect, okay? It is very difficult to nail down exactly what it means or exactly what's the best way to translate it in every context. I realize the Hebrews, the Jews have, you know, there are all kinds of theories. I am that I am, I will be, I am that I will be. It's not that easy because it doesn't conjugate like your verbs do in our language in English and so forth. And so you read and start studying that, and my goodness, it gets never ending because the verb is so rich in what it can mean. Okay? I am that I am. I heard once a man explain that you could, because of the lack of just placing the verbs out there, there is a way you could say you could translate it almost in 9 ways and not be violating the words, the context, the name. I am that I was. I am, or I am who I was, let's put it that way. I am who I am. I am who I will be. There's 3 ways. I was who I was. I was who I am. I was who I will be. That's 3 more. I will be who I was. I will be who I am. I will be who I will be. What is he saying? He's saying, I am the everlasting one. I am the eternal one. And Daniel, the first thing out of his mouth, when he praised the Lord for the answer to prayer, he said, Blessed be the name of God forever and ever. And that his very name means that. Do you realize how important that is? Everything we do is in time. And we complain and fuss and get upset and we look at the work that we do and the lack of fruit or whatever, and it's all because it's in a time issue, we forget that we serve an eternal God. In Daniel's mind, it was first the everlasting God. I skimmed through the Daniel once again yesterday, looking for references to the eternal nature of God. And I found at least 10 distinct references, separate occasions, references to the everlasting God and His work. Very important to Daniel. In fact, some of them were spoken by kings. Daniel's influence was such that others began to believe in the eternal God as he shined with the truth of God, as his life had influence. Now, this isn't just an isolated thing with Daniel. Let's see a few of the household words in the scriptures. For example, if you want to come with me, that's fine. I'm going to go through a couple of the men of the Bible. Genesis 21, 33, let's think of Abraham. Verse 33, Genesis 21, 33 says, "And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God." The everlasting God. How about Moses? Check Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 33. Deuteronomy 33, verse 26. He says, "There is none like unto the God of Jeshurun, who rideth upon the heaven in thy help, and in his excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms." The everlasting arms. Notice what Moses said in Psalm 90. Psalm 90. "Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hadst formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God." Notice the importance they gave to this. And I believe it is foundational to Daniel's testimony and to his shining. Notice Isaiah. Well, in Isaiah, I'll just mention it. Isaiah 57, verse 15 says, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity." What happens when you go to the New Testament? New Testament, let's start at the back. Just a couple of examples. In the New Testament, the focus, of course, is on the Lord Jesus Christ and His person. In Revelation chapter 1, verse 8, "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending." It's another way of saying, "I am the Eternal One." What does Hebrews 13:8 say? Do you remember? Jesus Christ, the same what? Yesterday, today, and forever. The Eternal One. And then let's go to John, for example, and see it in the Lord's own words. In John chapter 8, the Lord is surrounded by the Pharisees and the Jews who are always trying to get after Him. Verse 53, John 8:53, "Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Who makest thou thyself?" John 8:53. The Lord answers in 44, 45, and verse 46, jumping a little bit, He says, "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him," basically they said, "What are you saying? They say, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said unto them, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am the Eternal One." And in the New Testament, we see the Lord Jesus as the Eternal One, exactly the same one as talked with Moses there in chapter 3. And Daniel, so we go back to Daniel, and Daniel, there in chapter 2 and verse 20, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His." Years ago, I was at a friend's house in France. He was a missionary there. And there was a Bible there. I was looking at the French Bible. And I was reading, I was looking in the Old Testament. I had taken French when I was a kid. I looked in there and I was reading and I saw in a passage, the word that they translated Jehovah, or the word that they translated for God. Now, in the Spanish Bible, in your Bible, in the King James, we have the word Jehovah, but it's disguised, so to speak. It is written on you, in your Bible as the word Lord, but with capitals. Have you noticed that there's two, right? If it says LORD capital, it is in the original is Jehovah. In Spanish, the word that we have in the Spanish Bibles is Jehová, which is the word with some vowels added to it to make it sound sort of like what they think it sounded like. The Hebrews, the Jews would not speak it. So we have Jehová. Do you know what the French Bible has? Anybody know? Is anybody here from France or have seen a French Bible? The French Bible has, instead of Lord or Jehovah, in French, they have l'éternel. You know what that is? The Eternal One. The French Bible, every time the word Jehovah is there, it is the Eternal One. Beautiful rendering. I love it. Because it's they're trying to capture the essence of that name. And Daniel said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever." For some reason, I'm having a hard time this evening. I don't know why. So I'm going to stop and I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask the Lord to give me the good concentration that I need, because this is such an important thing. And I think we need to ponder it, okay? So let's pray, and then we'll resume. We have a few minutes left. Dear Father, You are the God of heaven. You are the Eternal One. And I praise You, Lord, for giving us this teaching from Daniel. Lord, help us, help me, to be able to explain and to be able to preach who You are. Lord, I thank You for Daniel. I thank You for the fact that You are the Eternal One. And Lord, we have, in our lives, we see our problems, we have our difficulties, and we see them always in time. We forget that over all things, You are. And I pray, O God, that if nothing else, each one this evening, as they listen to Your word, would remember that You are the God of eternity. Lord Jesus, that You are over all. None of our circumstances affect You. None of them catch You by surprise. And I pray, O Lord, that You would help and give me the clarity of mind as I preach. Thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what you might think of C.S. Lewis. I don't agree with everything he said. But in his book on the Screwtape Letters, he gives an interesting observation about the fact, the whole idea of eternity and time.
He says the devil would like for us to think about, to have our focus on the past or on the future. And he says it doesn't matter, he doesn't care if people like the past or don't like the past. As long as they're focused on it, when a person looks back at the old days and says the great old days and everything was good and honky-dory and fantastic, or there are some people who look back and they say, man, it was rotten, it was terrible, I had a horrible past. As long as they are focused on the past, they cannot do the present duty in the light of an eternal God for an eternal God. They are distracted by the past. Or they're distracted by the future. Some people are scared of the future because they don't know what's going to happen. They're scared of the accident or the medical visit or whatever. You know, they're focused on the future. Others are focused on the future for the good. Can't wait till retirement. Can't wait until this, that, and the other. And the devil wants man to be... He's happy when men are focused on the past or the future. What is God's focus for you and me? The present duty in the light of eternity, in the light of an eternal God. And so I'm going to close this evening, and I want to take you just to the book of Matthew chapter 9 and give you something to think about as we consider the eternity, the everlasting, the eternal God. And I'm going to close tonight with that, okay? Let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. Verse 19. Matthew chapter 6, verse 19 says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasure upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." And I want you to simply think about the fact that as you consider this week and your commitment this week to missions, think about the fact that God wants us to invest in eternity. And we do that by investing properly what we have. Okay? I'm going to close. I don't know why I've lost my train of thought. Okay? In the sense of the being able to speak clearly and smoothly. But I know that God is who He is. And I know He is eternal. I know that Daniel understood that. And because he understood that God was eternal, His everlasting God, Daniel was able to maneuver through all of those circumstances and still shine for God. And I have not been able this evening, for some reason, to be able to clear. At least I haven't sensed it. I haven't been comfortable in this passage, and I'm sorry, but that's my humanity. God is who He is. His Scripture is the Scriptures. The Bible gives us these men and tells us what they believe, so that we can learn from them. And I pray and I hope that you will. And I'm sorry that I just haven't been very comfortable. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and Pastor, I'll hand it over to you, and we'll be done for tonight. Dear Father, I thank You that You are God and not me, no one here. You are in control. Lord, I don't ever remember losing my ability to speak like this evening. I don't know why. It's a new thing. And yet it's not about me, Lord. It's not about me at all. And perhaps it was important for me to learn that. I don't know. But I pray that as we go home tonight, we would remember what we have read, and perhaps we can look at it again and see it more clearly. But I pray that you would help us to be like Daniel. Help us to shine with the light of the gospel, with your truth in a pagan world. May we shine with you and not us. So many times we think it's us who needs to shine in our own self, that it's we who do the convincing, it's we who have the power, it's we who have the skill. And Lord, we need you. And when you want to, you can take it out of us. We want to glorify you. Lord Jesus, we pray this in your name. Amen.